Father, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we're approaching this point in this service, Lord, where we expect, Lord, to hear from you and your word. We thank you for your presence, Lord, and coming down to honor our singing, Lord. Lord, not to accept our worship. Now we ask, Father, for you to anoint this word, dear God, that it may come off the pages, Lord, and have meaning to the people this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. You may be seated. I want to minister on this morning. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. You know, one time when Jesus, after his crucifixion, came and appeared to the disciples, if you recall, Thomas couldn't hardly believe it was him. And Thomas said, if you'll let me touch the nail prints in your hands, then I'll believe it's you. And so Jesus, you know, gave Thomas the desire of his heart. He said, come on, Thomas. And Thomas felt the nail prints in his hands. And he says, now I know you are my Lord. And Jesus said to him, you say you know it's me, you believe, because you've seen me and you've touched me. He said, but how much greater them that have not seen and yet believe? Why? Because it's by faith. How do you know that Jesus took some dirt, spit in it, made mud out of it, and anointed a blind man's eyes and he see? How do you know? Say, well, the Bible tells me. How do you know that's true? How do you know any better than anybody else? How do you know better than the atheists that don't even believe in the Bible? How do you know that what the Bible's saying is true, that it's not just a bunch of made-up stories like they say? It's faith. It's faith. It's because you have faith. Faith tells you that it happened. You believe. Not only that, but you have seen. You have seen God work in this time, in this day. Not just God work when the prophet was here, but you've seen yourself touched. You've seen yourself healed. You've seen others around you healed. You've seen others around you go through things and God deliver them out of it. So you know God's real. And but it's by faith that you accept these things. Brother Branham said that he was trying to get the people to believe no matter what, no matter regardless of anything, what anything was like, how negative it seemed, how impossible it seemed, but to believe it anyhow. To believe it anyhow. He said, because faith is the victory. Faith, we know, is a revelation. It's something that God drops in your heart and you believe. If you have faith, it's because God's given you faith. That lets you know, you realize where you're getting it from, then it's from God. Anything we go through, I know each of us here have went through many different things. And sometimes, being human, we get to thinking that what we've went through, maybe you get to, some people get to think, well, it's worse than what anybody else has had to face. But there's only one thing that gives you the victory. I don't care what you go through. John may not have to face the same people I've had to face. John hasn't maybe went through, didn't go through some of the things I've had to go through. And then there were things John went through that I haven't had to go through. But there's still only one thing that got him victory. It's the same thing that gets me victory. It's the same thing that gets you victory. And that's faith. That's what gets us through. Now, I know as humans, we fight with this flesh. And this flesh is full of doubt. When we're faced with something, you know, flesh feels pain. And the knowledge of that pain will strengthen doubt. You claim you're healing, but you're still feeling the sickness. You claim you're healed, but you still feel the pain. And the flesh then wants to cloud your mind with doubt. That's just Satan working in that spirit realm. Exactly what that is. Satan comes to work in your gate of reasoning, to reason with you about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times Satan comes to us in that spirit realm and tries to work, we'll still fall for it from time to time. We'll still give in to reasoning. We'll still give in to logic. We'll still give in to imagination. I was having trouble with my throat some years ago. I was having trouble swallowing. I didn't know what it was. And I knew I needed to go to the doctor, but then I talked to some brother who'd come through to preach for us, and he's a good brother. But when he heard I was having trouble swallowing, things like that, he said, yeah, he said, my brother had that, you know. He said, and he went to the hospital and he died within a few days. You know, and I thought, my goodness. I said, what was it? He said, turned out to be cancer. Well, then you know how your flesh, your imagination goes to working right then. Oh, my goodness, I've got cancer. I'm going to die. But my daughter kept after me to go to the doctor, and I went to the doctor. Turned out it was acid reflux. And it had scarred my throat and shrunk the opening. So what they had to do was stretch my throat out so I could swallow again. That's all it was. And I thought, well, how scared I got. And I hadn't even went to the doctor. And I was scared to not know what was in all mine. Thought the worst. What was that? That was the flesh. The flesh is full of that. And that was Satan. Satan heard what that brother said, and so Satan went to work in that spirit realm of my mind, began to reason with me and things. And you know, you think we ought to have matured enough by now to where when Satan would go to work in that spirit realm, we'd recognize it right away. But sometimes we don't recognize it right away. We think that it's our thoughts. We think it's what we're thinking. I got news for you. It ain't your thoughts. It's his thoughts. He's injecting those thoughts, and then he stands back to see, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with these thoughts? Because he can't read your mind, but he can read your actions. So he tries to inject fear and see if then he can get that to work on you. You got somebody going in for surgery. And you know what? You need faith to go in for surgery. You got doctors and surgeons, you know, and you're trusting in their knowledge and their abilities. But at the same time, as a Christian, you pray God guide their hands, because they're just human too. And they're subject to mistakes. So you want to believe. But then somebody tells you something about somebody had anesthesia and never come back awake again. And then you think, well, I don't want them to put me asleep then. I guarantee you when they go to cutting, you'll wish you was asleep. I've heard of people having open heart surgery and waking up partway through the surgery. Well, something's wrong with that anesthesiologist. You should have never come back conscious like that in the middle of surgery. But you know what? The thing is, the same faith you have for God to guide the surgeon's hand, you got to have that same faith that God's going to guide that anesthesiologist to give you just the right amount, not too much, not too little, and just right so that it keeps you out during and they bring you right back too. I went in to have one procedure done, and they didn't put a mask over my face. Instead, they injected something in a IV, and it was a big syringe. And she says, by the time I get this all injected, you'll be out. And I thought, well, good, because I didn't want to be awake during the procedure. And, you know, but there's things like that that work. And if Satan can work on things to make you fearful of it, and Satan works, you know what? We worry. Some people worry more than others. But we, by nature, will worry over things. Some people's a little more nervous than others, and they'll get nervous over it. That ain't going to help you. You can worry about it all you want. It ain't going to help you. You're not going to figure out a way around it. You ain't going to figure a way to overcome it. You got to just let faith sink in and say, look, I'm in your hands. The week before, y'all know about that man that killed that sheriff's deputy, and he was on the loose, and they were looking for him, and they came out and blocked off our road and was going through our woods, and somebody said they'd spotted him, and so they had, I don't know how many police cars went out there. I lost count after 20. And we were coming home, and we got down there by the Shell gas station, and we couldn't get it turning our road. They got just ahead of us, and they blocked everything off. So we pulled in that Shell gas station, and all of them started getting out with assault rifles and everything else, and they was converging on this one little building and going to check it out first before they went into the woods and that. And I told my wife, I said, maybe we should go home the back way. And she said, no, I don't feel safe us doing that. If he's out in the woods somewhere, I don't feel safe us doing that. I said, well, I don't feel safe sitting here. All these guns drawn out. You know, I know none of them was pointing our way, but if that man, they said he was armed, well, he might have had one pointing our way. But eventually they led us down a road, and we went down the road, but they still kept looking. Well, nighttime came, and it come time to go to bed. And you know what I did? I went to bed, turned my air conditioner on, put my CPAC machine on where I could breathe, put on some music where I couldn't hear nothing, and went to sleep. And the police had come up there and said, if you have any weapons, you better have them on hand because this man's armed. I said, all I got's hunting rifles. And they said, well, you know, he's dangerous, you know. But I was trusting in the Lord to watch after us. We had locked the doors. We'd done what we could do. Wasn't no sense setting up a vigil all night. I was depending on the Lord to watch over us. Now, what if I'd have been so scared I couldn't went to sleep? Then the next morning would have come just like it came anyway, except I'd have been sleep deprived. But I got up the next morning, the police was all gone. They left the area. And I guess maybe it was a couple of days later then, or a day or two later, they caught him. It wasn't too far from our house, but I think somebody just saw something and just thought they spotted him over there. I don't think he was ever over our way, but if he was, that guy sure could travel on foot, I can tell you that. When they caught him, he was about 7 miles away from us. And he started out over somewhere by Bon Aqua or somewhere, and where they lost track of him. And so He must have done a lot of traveling on foot. That's all I can say. But, you know, the thing was, I didn't want to run into the fella. I wasn't going to go out in the woods. But I was trusting in God to watch after us and watch over the family. And, but if I'd have let fear overtake me, it wouldn't have done me any good. It wouldn't have changed nothing. If he was going to come our way, he was going to come our way, whether I was scared or not as scared. So I had faith that we were in the hands of the Lord and the Lord would take care of us. When they'd been after me, you know, it had been last November I went to the Philippines, and it had been 15 years had passed between that time and the last time I had went before that. And I'd been asked several times to come back, and I'd said I would, but I went through back surgeries and I don't know what all I went through before I ever made it back over there. And went through my mental battles and all those things. But when I felt led of the Lord to go, well, I wasn't afraid. They said, well, there were some places over there kidnappings were taking place. Well, I wasn't afraid. Because God sent me. Not only that, I know their electricity was different than ours. And, you know, I've got one of those CPAP machines you sleep with at night because I stop breathing, so that keeps me breathing during the night and not snoring and stopping breathing. But I couldn't take that with me because electricity was different. And one of the things I couldn't afford to have that thing tore up, you know, then I'd be without it all the time back here. But I told my wife, and I said, look, I felt led of God to go. So God's going to keep me breathing while I'm there. And I went on over there and I slept and everything without that thing. And the Lord helped me to sleep. But, you know, it's when you know God has sent you somewhere. One time a brother told me here, said, when I first came here and when I was preaching and things, said, you know, you keep preaching that way, and you might get yourself into trouble. And I said, why is that? He said, well, you know, there's people around here that's beat up preachers before. And I said, well, I can't speak for them other preachers because I'm not them. So I can't speak for them, but I can speak for myself. And I said, God sent me here. I don't know about the others. I said, but God sent me here, and if God sent me here, anybody that's got any beef, they're going to be dealing with God, not me. And that's the way it's been. Remember one night, I was living at Brother Phil's house the first month that I was here as a pastor while I stayed with Brother Phil. My family was still up in Ohio. Brother Phil lived over here close to Charlotte at that time. And I went home one Sunday night after church and had preached, you know, on I don't remember exactly what I'd preached on, but preached a message of faith. And I went home, and I'll tell you what, something woke me up that night. And it was a presence that settled down in that room and just got all over me. And I felt fear. And I recognized that there was something there. Something had come to try to bring fear on me. So I got up and went to praying. And I prayed until that had lifted back. And then I got back into bed and I started to go back to sleep. And a little while later, here it come again. And it was that way all night long, on and off, till early morning. And early morning, when I was praying, that thing left and left for good. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you wrestle with the prince of Dixon. And, but I knew then that spirit didn't want this church to be, didn't want this church to exist. But you know what? It's going to anyway, because, friends, God said that he was going to have a work here. That's what he told me. He told me there was going to be a work here, and he said that he was going to strengthen it, make it strong. We might not be strong in numbers, but I believe we're strong in the word. And that's what's important. I'll tell you what, friends. It isn't how many, if you get what I'm saying here. It ain't how many that'll leave out of here and go in the rapture. It's just that all of us will. I'm not worried about how many. Just as long as every one of us that's sitting here under this word, we get ready and leave out of here. How do I know that we're going to take a rapture? Because the Lord spoke to me and said he was sending me here to get the people ready for a rapture. And so I believed him. When Brother Phil had talked to me about coming here, I came here and preached the first time on Labor Day in 1998. Brother Phil talked to me that Sunday night, said, "Why don't you let me put your name for the church?" Well, Brother Phil just met me that weekend. That's all the longer he'd known me, was just that weekend. He said, "Let me put your name for the church." He said, "I'm sure we'll get 100% to give you a trial." And I said, "Well, you can't do that." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because God ain't told me." And he said, "Well, that's funny." He said, "I've had 5 preachers tell me that God told them that they was to come pastor his church." He says, "And now I offered to put your name up." He says, "And you tell me no." He said, "You're the only one that's told me no." He said, 5 other ones have said God told them they were coming here to pastor. I said, "Well, I can tell you this. Either one's telling the truth and the other 4 are lying, or all 5 of them are lying." I said, "Because God don't tell 5 different people he sent them here to be the pastor. Because the Holy Ghost is not an author of confusion." And I said, "That just sounds like a bunch of confusion to me." And, you know, I told you before, the Lord had spoke to me about that he was going to be sending me to a church to pastor. Well, I didn't know where it was, and I wasn't looking for it. I had no reason to leave where I was at. I had no reason to leave there. I was doing fine at church where I was. But the Lord has spoke to me and told me he was sending me somewhere. So I just waited on him. And then after I'd been here and visited, and I was praying, and Brother David had come and talked to me the first service that I preached here. And he talked to me back in the back room a little bit about himself. And I told him I'd pray for him. I said, I'll be praying for you. And so I was at home up in Ohio. And I got up that morning. I was kneeling down beside the bed just praying. And I got to praying for Brother David. And the Lord just spoke to me and dropped me and said, "I give you that soul." Well, there's been times that I looked and thought, I don't know what that means. There was times that David was going through some things that I told the Lord, "I don't know what that means when you told me that." But it obviously meant he belonged to the Lord. But then the Lord spoke to me and said that church is the Dixon Church. That's where I'm sending you. And you know, at first I balked at it. I told the Lord that this was a depressing place. And I said, "I don't want to go there." But I said, "I'd obey the Lord." But then I didn't say nothing to my wife or anybody else. I just kept it to myself. Because when the Lord tells you something, then what do? Then you wait for him to make it happen. Wait for him to do what he's going to do. He don't tell you so you can get out there and do it for him. But I said, "Well, if that's you speaking to me, Lord, tell me that this is a church, then you're going to make the arrangements." And so then I had talked to my wife. I didn't tell her about the Lord speaking to me or nothing. But she was talking to me, and she asked me, she said, "You know that you're supposed to go back down there and preach." And I said, "Yeah, I know." She says, about what, 2 or 3 more weeks? She said, you'll be going down there to preach. I said, yeah. She said, you know, they're going to ask you again. It might be more than one to ask you this time if they can put your name up. I said, yeah, I know. And she said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I don't know. I said, I won't go unless the Lord tells me to go. She says, you know, we can't move down there on no 6-month trial basis. In this 6 months, they turn around and say, no, they don't want you, and we've done moved. I said, don't worry about that. I said, they ain't going to do that. And I all of a sudden I stopped and I told her, I said, they're going to ask me for 1 month trial basis. And I said, and I wouldn't even go for 1 month unless God told me to. And she said to me, she peeked at me, she said, why'd you say that? I said, I don't know why I said it. I don't know why I said that. And so we went on to go eat supper. And I was at the dinner table and the phone rang. It was Brother Phil on the phone. And Brother Jule Forney had come through here and preached. And Brother Phil said that Brother Jule found out that I'd been through here, and me and Brother Jule were friends, and we knowed each other, of course. And then Brother Jule said, well, brother, he said, that's a man right there. Y'all, if you pass him up, you've missed it. Said, you ought to ask him to come for 1 month. And that's what Brother Phil told me on the phone. He said, Brother Jule suggested you come for 1 month. And I said, well, let's just focus on the meetings I'm going to preach there right now, and then we'll talk about that after the meetings are over. But that's how it came to be. But the thing was, friends, I had to go on faith. And there was some of my family back in Ohio that I had been applying for jobs, and I had some college, had some training and so forth. And so I've been applying for some jobs up there. And while I was down here, while one of them places called, it was some good jobs too. And one of the places called. And so my mom sent word or something to me about it, said I need to come up there to answer that. You know, they wanted to talk to me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, ain't no sense me coming up here and going to talk to them, because I know God done sent me down here. So there ain't no sense me doing that. And then my dad, you know, he got worried because he knew how fickle people can be. And he thought, what if he gets there and them people like him for a little while, and then all of a sudden they decide they don't like him no more? Well, I guess the answer to that is they end up leaving. But you know, I said, I'm not worried about that. I knew God had sent me. And no matter what, I knew God was going to bring in people. And there's been people that was here that's gone. And there's been others come in. And I believe that you that's here, you're a help to this church. You are. You're an encouragement. And we're an encouragement one to another. But why do we come here service after service? Faith. We believe. It's where you believe this is where God's got you. And you believe that the Word of God is going to make you ready to go in that rapture. That's why you come here. Because God draws you here. And it's faith that He's given you to believe. And the confidence you have, it is not confidence in a man, but you got confidence in the God that sent the man. Amen. Brother Branham, one message he was talking about, said there was this, he said he hated to use this word, but he called him a bum that came, knocked on the door, and asked Brother Branham for something to eat. He asked him, I think it was for a sandwich. And Brother Branham invited him on in, and he went ahead and fixed him something up better than a sandwich. And he set the man down to eat. And while he was sitting there, Brother Branham was talking to him. Brother Branham said, "Where are you from?" The man said, "Nowhere." He said, "Where are you going?" The man said, "Nowhere." He said, "Just wherever my heart is at the time, that's where I rest." Brother Branham said, no ambition at all. He had no ambition to try to make himself better, to try to make himself to where he wasn't homeless. Brother Branham said he had no ambition for that. He said, it's what I call a drifter, a floater. And he said, that's the way some people is that joins church. They join church and all they do is just drift. They ain't got no ambition, really. They ain't got no faith. He said, but they join church so that'll make everything all right. You say, well, we don't join church in the message, so how does that apply? Well, we don't have to have a church book that you put your name on or join necessarily, but if people will just start coming here. And there's been some that's come here, the friends, they just came here to drift along for a while, I reckon. And eventually they drifted right on out the door. But Brother Branham said, reminded him of driftwood. And he said, you know, driftwood, it'll hang up on any kind of trash along the shoreline. He said, but now you take a boat. He said, it's made out of wood too. And he said, just like the driftwood. He said, but it's been crafted by the master's hand. And it's been shaped and molded in a way that it'll cut its way through the waters. And it won't get hung up on anything. It's the way it's shaped. It's shaped not to get hung up on anything. And he said, that's the way we need to do. Let the master mold us to where we can go right on, right along the way we're supposed to be going. Not get hung up on anything. Not be a drifter or a floater. He said, people that would just be floaters or drifters, he says, eventually they'll just float right on to their eternal destination. They'll just drift right on over into their eternal destination. But we don't want to do that. We want our sights set on glory. You know, we know we're not supposed to go by feelings. We know when you get prayed for, we've been taught enough to know that when we're prayed for, to accept by faith our healing, not to go on what we're feeling. And that's the thing. Faith is the victory in the face of all that. It doesn't matter what we're feeling. It doesn't matter what we're facing. Faith is the thing that will overcome it. I can tell you this, when I was going through my, you know, the mental battles back here a couple of years ago I was going through, I'm going to tell you something, friends, they was real. And there was times when my flesh told me it was over for me. And then it took faith. And not just my faith, it took faith of others holding me up in prayer for God. And God let me go through that for quite a while. And then when I started to get better, well, I come back up here to preach, and I felt like I hem-hauled around everything, couldn't preach or say a word. I felt like I just stumbled through notes, and I told my wife, I said, something's happened to me. I said, I don't know. I don't preach the way I used to. I don't know if I can. But I just, you know what I did? I just kept trudging along. I kept doing it anyway. And doubt come to me and said, well, people are going to lose confidence in you because you can't hardly even preach no more. But I just kept trudging along because why? I knew no matter what, God had sent me here. And I was praying, God, you're going to have to touch me. Many times back I prayed and I said, God, Just let me preach the way I used to preach. But I don't know what it was that was standing in my way, but I kept pushing forward. And I went over to the Philippines last November, and I'll tell you, even while I was there, I felt that. Just so hard for me to try to push through and preach. But I preached, and the people didn't seem to notice, and they seemed to get blessed, so I just kept pushing through. And I guess it was just a personal battle that I was having. I don't know. I talked to some other ministers, a couple other ministers. I don't talk to a lot, but a couple others I've talked to and told about it. And one minister told me, said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know about what you're talking about," said, "but one thing for sure, your ministry sure blesses every time you come here." And so, but I just kept pushing through, believing by faith, God, whatever it was that was hindering me, whatever's in the way, God was going to help me to overcome it. And I believe he did. I don't know what you think now, but I feel a whole lot better while I'm preaching than what I used to. And, you know, we know the Bible says faith is a substance. It's just not something imaginary. It's something that's real. It's something that has been revealed to you, Brother Branham said, that drops down in your heart. Why is it you say, "Well, what do you mean revealed to me?" Well, it's revealed to you God's a healer, isn't it? That's all the revelation you need. You don't need God to come down and speak to you individually and tell you this particular disease or this particular thing that you're facing, I've healed you over. You should be able to believe God is a healer. You've got that revelation. You say, "But how do I know he's going to heal me?" Because you belong to him. And he said, "I'm the Lord thy God that healeth all of your diseases." All of them. All of them. I know each one here has went through battles over some, it's been over different things. And maybe some's been over sickness in their bodies, some's been over situations in family, and some's been maybe other situations in their life. But it's faith that's brought you this far. And it's faith that's going to take you the rest of the way on. Brother Branham talked about one time that this woman was dying, I think, of appendix. I think's what it was now. A young woman. And Brother Branham said, "I wish I had time to give you more understanding of faith." He said, but his time was limited because she was dying. And he said, I don't have time to go in and show you all these things by the scriptures. And so he looked around the room and he saw, y'all remember this, he looked around the room and he saw this look like a little bracelet hanging down from a chain off a light. And he's a little piece of string. And he said, he asked the other people in the room, said they'd turn around, turn the chairs around and face the other way. Because he wasn't going to perform. But he was trying to show her. And he says, "I don't got time to take you through the scriptures and help build your faith up." He said, "So I'm going to do this." He said, "You say you got faith." She said, "Yes, I got faith." He said, "You said you got faith to be healed." She said, "Yes, I do." He says, "Well, then, look out there at that bracelet and make that bracelet move." He said, "Make it swing around in circles, then make it go from left to right, back and forth." She said, "Well, I can't do that." He said, "Well, you said you had faith." And she said something about being Church of Christ. She said, "You know, we believe to be silent where the Bible's silent." Brother Rabbi said, "Yeah, I've heard that slogan." He said, "But I got questions about that." He said, but he asked her, he says, she said, "Well, can you do it?" And he said, "Sure, he could do it." And so he looked out there, fastened his eyes on that bracelet, made it move around in a circle like that, made it stop, made it move back and forth, made it stop. She told him, she said, that's spiritualism. He said, I thought you'd say that. He said, but it's not. He said, listen, Jesus said, when he was standing by Mount Olives, he said, if you had the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou moved and be cast in the sea. He said, I know your preacher, wanting to protect his own unbelief, would tell you that mountain was a mountain of sin Jesus was talking about. He said, but it wasn't. He was standing at the foot of Mount Olives. He said, and that's the mountain he was talking about. When he said, if you'd say this mountain be moved, be cast in the sea, and you believed, it would be. He said, that's the same faith I reached out and touched that bracelet like that. And from doing that, it got her faith to rise. And then Brother Branham prayed for her and she was healed. Now, Brother Branham wasn't doing that to put on a show, but he was doing it to show this young lady. He said, if faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain, how little would the faith be that could move that bracelet? He said, it only takes a little bit of faith. It only takes a little bit of faith. I've looked around and I've seen men that I've thought, preachers that I've been around throughout my life, and I thought, well, some of them I thought, man, they're a man of great faith, much more greater faith than I have. But it's not that. If you just have a little bit of faith. But I believe our faith grows, don't you? I believe with each thing we go through, with each thing we face, that God comes and delivers us out of, I believe that with each thing, our faith grows. And I believe it's going to continue to grow because, people, we've got to have rapturing faith. We've got to have rapturing faith, too. We've got to have body-changing faith. Amen? And I believe we will have. I know we will have. I'm not hoping we're going to have. I know we will have because the Bible said it so. I know that there are those that went on by the way of the grave that they're going to rise first and we're going to see them. I know it because the Bible said so. And I believe what the Bible says. Because I've seen Jesus Christ proven to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus today as he was when he walked on the face of this earth. His power hasn't diminished a bit. And there's still power in the blood. Amen. I believe that. The Ram says here in this message, says, faith in what? Not faith in your church. Not faith in your creed. Not faith in some man. But faith in Jesus Christ who made the promise. That's the victory. What is it? It is the victory. Say, my arm's still crippled, but faith is the victory. I feel sick, but faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. When you climb into God by prayer until you've seen the thing conquered under you. There's nothing can hurt you then. Like I said earlier, John, who wrote about this and said faith is a victory, he might not face the same things you face. But he didn't leave nothing out. He said faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In other words, it overcomes all of it. There's nothing left out. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we humbly bow our heads before you this morning, asking God that you would just move amongst your people, Lord. May this word this morning that was spoke would be an encouragement and help to them throughout this coming week, Lord. Not knowing, Lord, what things that we are going to face as we go into this next week, but knowing, Lord, that no matter what, that you are with us, Lord. And I ask, Lord, your blessing on the people today. May you bless them, Lord, as they go, and may you bless them, dear God, as they as they fellowship and so on, Lord. I pray you'll bless their times they have together today for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.